welcome in to the show. Episode 289, specifically of this show, Washed Up Walk-Ons, brought to you by DRF Sports Today. A myriad of topics. Barry Bonds, the continued conversation from the NFL weekend that we just had, overtime rules, Chris Ruth, video guy leaving Iowa, Nick Niemann, a whole bunch of stuff. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in to episode 289. I'm not Drake. Drake is one third of this podcast. Some people wish he wasn't part of the podcast. The other two thirds of this podcast, in fact, fall in that majority. But it is the Kevin and Tyler show. There is a calmness and a peace that I find when it's just you and I, Kevin.
You get both sides of it. You get the Dickhead Tuesdays, and then every now and then you get the Kevin and Tyler show.
And the contrast is wild, man. The contrast.
I can only imagine. I am not a Patreon subscriber, so I have not.
You bitch.
I have not listened to any Dickhead Tuesday content, but I can only imagine what goes on.
There's some wild shit that we talk about, man. Like we're probably a little too loose for, I mean, we have a lot of, I mean, we're working on 500 patrons. So, I mean, there's
walk
some
on army, man.
Yeah. The army's deep. Let me tell you. All right. And you know, what's exciting is in fact, literally about 37 minutes ago, as we hit record on this podcast, episode 289, by the way, if I didn't say that when we came in, new orders of some inventory for the old Washed Up Walk-Ons, just the generic Hawks by a Million. We got a restock coming, right? The Suarez Canal was just blocked up like, I don't have a joke. I'm not Drake, but it was blocked up for a while. It fucked up the entire supply chain. COVID hasn't helped. And we finally got the pieces, the garments that we want to print the HBAM on. So as you listen to this podcast, it's not going to be, we're going to let them print. And then once we have the physical goods, we will put them back on the website in stock. But this will be the most stocked the website's ever been. We're going to have black and gold tees, both variations, hoodies, and hats. Okay.
All right.
The hats are Washed Up Walk-On brand. So, and we're going to continue to add to that. We're just finally getting around to it. Now, on today's agenda, again, Kevin and I, we have a little bit of different, there's a different little spice. You know, maybe when you click into 289 and you're like, oh my gosh, there's no Drake. There's this calming sense of I can just listen to this podcast and I don't have to have my guard up or anything. There's not going to be any talk about, and you're probably right about that. And I wish that you guys at home could feel the difference in, I'll call it anxiety, that I have as the host of this show when Drake is not part of it, right? He's a double-sided sword. And the sword is not a part of this podcast. I was going to start this thing with an Apple review. We have a lot of new reviews, but they won't load on my computer. So we're going to move on because I have a list of other shit to talk about.
Did you have one picked out from earlier?
No, I was going to. There was a fair amount of people, you know, during the Michigan week when I brought on Steve Dace.
Yeah.
He, in another life outside of the sports world, is very political. Some would call him right wing. Would be a fair assessment. And the way that politics brings people, like it grasps people. And just because we brought him on that podcast, I think we gained listeners And like four or five different people reviewed our podcast specifically because we had him on, and it was all good. So it's just interesting.
Well, you guys, it was just you two. I can only assume you guys did not talk about politics.
Oh man. We busted into abortion and the border policy and fucking COVID vaccinations. That's all we talked about. We didn't even talk about football.
You said he's pretty knowledgeable on Michigan football, right? So I imagine
he's the most knowledgeable. He knows more about Michigan football going all the way. I mean, he's probably in his 40s. I don't know. Maybe. He knows more about Michigan football than the three of us on this podcast know combined about Iowa football, guaranteed. Especially like stats, like pulling facts and stats wise out of his ass. So it was a good episode. I was going to read one of the reviews and I can't find it. So I want to talk a little bit more about NFL playoff weekend from last weekend, because we got into the conversation while you were coming back from Chicago. And then Jack got on the podcast and it was like, oh shit, now we're going
to. Yeah, I think we're only able to recap like one of the games.
We talked about
the Packers game.
We talked about the Packers game and how the long snapper fucked up. And I wanted to talk about the other four games. So
before we get into those other games, I also want to talk about DRF Sports because they are our sponsor. And I know you keep hearing about this. It's part of the gig. It's we're paying the bills around here, keeping the lights on. DRF Sports officially, and if you follow us on Twitter, you saw this, officially live in Iowa. Go find our Twitter. Find the tweet that we retweeted from DRF Sports. It has a link. You can sign up. Easiest way to learn how to bet, learn what bets are, spreads, money line, what do I do? How do I do it? They have it all. And you could have bet on these games. In fact, this game.
The first game of the weekend was the Bengals-Titans. And I had a dream last night that I got called by the Bengals to come in and snap for them, by the way. That's not bullshit. It just so happened that I had a dream. And it was one of like the vivid dreams. And I almost feel like it was a.
What were your feelings when you woke up?
I was, man, it was weird. You know when people talk about, and maybe you don't, because I don't know if you would follow any of these types of people on social media, but for anybody out there, if you follow some people that get into some medicinal practices, like some Eastern medicine type stuff, I guess you would call it, some non-traditional stuff. There's these people who go on these like, I don't know if they use, I'm going to sound like an idiot for those that do know the specifics about this, but I don't know if they use mushrooms or I've heard like peyote or maybe it's DMT, but they do it guided, like with people there with them, or there's like, it's very specific dosing and they do it to like open up and like have breakthroughs mentally about their life or like to bring closure on some past trauma. I don't know. Right. Well, this dream felt like a very, very, very light version of that. Right. So first of all, the dream was a vivid dream. Imagine your top 5% of vividness when it comes to dreams, like the ones you really remember. Like I remember the number that they gave me. Like I was number 31. And I can still see them handing me the practice jersey, the Bengals practice jersey. And I woke up, Kev, and I was pissed off because it was so real feeling that I thought that my life had turned around. I thought that the podcast did not have to be any longer. The walk-ons, I could pass it off to somebody. And I was gonna snap in the league, man. The dream had catalyzed 4 years later. And I was pissed. And I think I experienced a little bit of closure in that dream of I got to be on a team. Like it was this weird out of body experience where, all right, that's the final closure on me not making it to the NFL. I don't know. It was fucking weird. Regardless, they played the Titans. They beat the Titans. McPherson had the most badass quote of the weekend. He went up to Joe Burrow before the end of the game and was like, hey, guess we're going to the AFC championship game, before he hit the kick. That's confidence.
Yeah. That's the kind of confidence you want from your kicker. Bad look if you miss the kick, but it's you love to hear it afterwards.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to think of if we ever had one of those. I know Miguel said some shit to me like that a couple times, but it was more in jest and not so absolute. This McPherson kid, he can smoke it. He's an absolute stud. I mean, he won the game for him. It was like a Keith Duncan Iowa State game where he had 4 field goals. They won 19-16 and he had 12 of the points. Well, no, he had 13 of the points. Unbelievable. And I told you and Drake that I really thought that the Bengals could do it. And they did it.
They did it. Yeah.
Why did Titans decide not to give the ball to Derrick Henry? That's the question.
They did. He just was able to do a whole lot with it. He's also, this is the first game back.
Yeah, I know.
Even Derrick Henry, it's going to take a while to get back into football shape.
Yeah.
You can train as much as you want, but there's nothing like playing a football game and, you know, just being able to hop right back into that. I don't know, what is he out? 2-3 months?
Yeah, 3 months, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't you can't just turn it on just like that.
No.
I think they still fed him a lot, right? They still gave him a
I'm not sure how many carries he had. It was interesting. I don't know. I know Drake's probably pissed because obviously Drake lives in Nashville now and he was going to
Henry had 20 carries.
Oh, for shit.
60 yards. Yeah.
So the Bengals just did their job, huh?
Yeah.
Well, either way, the Bengals advance. They're going to play the Chiefs. We'll get to the fucking Chiefs Bills game because that's the real highlight talk of tonight's NFL conversation. But first Bengals playoff victory in 31 years.
That was last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They that was their first one, and now they've done two in a row. And yeah, the highlight is basically like this organization has been in the garbage can for
They've got some young dudes too. Like, I mean, they have some talent on that offense.
If they can just find two or three guys to protect.
They need to shore up the O-line a little bit, and they need some help in their back end on defense. But otherwise, that could be a team to be
for a couple of years
to mess around. I mean, dude, if anything has shown me this past week, like the AFC runs through Buffalo, Kansas City. You know, Bengals might be in that mix, but. Yeah. Dude, I have a hard time seeing anyone beating Kansas City or Buffalo.
It's wild to me how much a quarterback, a true great quarterback matters.
They've got some dudes around
them. I understand that, but dudes want to play with great quarterbacks. So it's the off the field pull of, oh shit, Matt Stafford goes to the Rams. Oh, well now OBJ wants to come to the Rams. Right. And like it's, you know, you look at the quarterbacks of the elite eight of the NFL. It was Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Ryan Tannehill is a bit of an outlier there.
Yeah, but he's been solid ever since.
He's just very, very good. Right. He's not great.
I wouldn't call him a huge playmaker like those other guys, but.
And then you have Matt Stafford.
Yeah, he's a quarterback that can take you.
Right.
Well, you know, he should. You know, last Saturday proved that, didn't play up to the performance that you'd want.
Right.
You know, and then regular season, he plays like a guy that can bring a team to the.
Yeah. And I still think he is. Stafford and Garoppolo are the other ones. Garoppolo's probably the other sort of outlier. Like he's not great, but those other six, I mean, and they're the kind of guys that you build it's just interesting to me. Obviously then we talked about the Packers Niners game. The two games in a row, comes down to a final field goal with 4 seconds left. Bang, bang, bong, fucking both teams hit the field goal. The first game of Sunday ends the same way after it being 23-3.
27-3, I believe it
was. Unbelievable.
There's no way. And I texted you guys in this group chat. There's no way that should have been even close to a game. Like, the Rams are trying to give it away in the second
half. They were playing
everything they can to make it a game. It's like somebody at Buffalo Wild Wings is pressing the button to make this an interesting game.
They had the switch at B-dubs.
Yeah.
And Sean McVay called them. Yeah, man, they were. And you could kind of feel it as it happened. They're like, oh my God, we have this lead. Like, we're playing great. It's like, okay, just don't screw this up. And let's try and run this clock out. Like, let's get to the end of this game as fast as we can. And when you're playing Tom Brady, that's a bad move because he's going to find a way. And here's my one caveat of this game. Obviously, the Rams win, and I'm happy about that because they're my team if I pick one. But the Bucs have had to deal with Chris Godwin getting hurt and being out for the season, Antonio Brown being a fucking Antonio clown, and Lenny was hurt for a while too.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette just got back this last game. Tristan was out this last.
And then the big one is I really think Tristan. I think with how close that game ended up being, Tristan might be the X factor.
Yeah, there. I mean, the Rams were getting pressure on Brady all day long.
And granted, they have
some dudes.
I mean, they've got.
You know how you combat dudes is with your own dudes.
Gotta have Tristan dudes.
Worf is a dude,
and Tristan's a guy who, I mean, whoever that right tackle replacement was got
eaten. Who was also kind of banged up. He wasn't 100% healthy.
He got eaten alive, and that especially snap after snap that compounds and changes a game. I had several people.
I mean, you could tell Brady was uncomfortable. He was missing throws that he usually makes.
Yeah, a couple of his throws looked horrible. And I really think, like, I think if Tristan's in there, he is good enough. I mean, he's all pro bowler, that they might win that game with him.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that they gave up 30 points.
No, you're right.
You can never really go back and, oh, if we had this guy, this would have happened, yada, yada, yada.
Wouldn't hurt. But,
Is Tristan a 3-point difference maker? Yeah, maybe, possibly.
Yeah. So unbelievably, that game comes down to a bomb. I mean, that game, the ending of that game, you would have said, there's no way that it gets better than this, right? Two field goal winners, and then this comeback, and then
a 24-point comeback.
Just with a field goal ending,
field goal to win. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so the three away teams have all won on last second field goals to break a tie. Is it going to just happen for a fourth time? And lo and behold, one of potentially the greatest playoff games ever happens with two of the, like you said, the gatekeepers of the East or the AFC. And it ends on a bullshit overtime rule where, and maybe you're on the other side of this.
I've long been on the record that the NFL overtime rules are trash.
We don't even get to see the ball in Josh Allen's hands after what we just got to see at the end of regulation.
Not only that, it's the fact that in the regular season, you can tie a football game.
Right.
Yeah, you can't tie a football game. Someone's got to win this damn thing.
I don't know who came up with this rule. Someone a long time ago thought, oh, it'd be cool if, like, because it's the NFL, it's like just it's sudden death. Dumb rule, guy. Don't do that.
I think the college rules are not perfect, but they're pretty damn good.
I would take the I would have watched the Bills and the Chiefs play a Penn State Illinois game from this last season.
Yeah, are you going to tell me that that's not exciting watching them change 2-point? Like, so was it two overtimes or three before you go to the 2-point?
The third one starts the mandatory one play 2-point conversion.
Gotcha. I mean, come on, that's exciting. say you get a stop and you got to get one, then you get stopped, then you get a touchdown, you got to get a stop, they get a touchdown. Like, I watched that Penn State Illinois game. That was fucking exciting game to watch.
And I would, like, five of the six overtimes, they stopped each other and it was still exciting.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Now what I would suggest is in college backing it up from the 25. So you don't have, like, say you go three and out, like a pretty makeable field goal. I mean, most college kickers are going to make, what's that, a 42, 43 yarder. 70, 80% of the time.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'd say back it up to the 40 or something. Or if you want to say, hey, you can't kick a field goal, you got to get a touchdown or something like that. If I know part of the reason in the NFL is guys are worried about total, like, volume of playing, time and stuff like that. Hey, that the NFLPA has a lot of power.
Yeah, for real.
But I think, like, the college way you do it, like, two overtimes,
it's just
2-point conversions, you can do just as much, if not less, playing.
It's just straight up not fair. You're leaving something up to an actual coin flip. That's, and what really solidified this for me was I saw a great analogy, and I know that sport to sport, things don't always cross over, but it was somebody on Twitter that said, I'll be okay with the end of this Bills Chiefs game when you find a way to justify a team winning on a walk-off home run in the top of the 10th.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
it's the same thing.
It's valid. Now, you can always say, like, yeah, just play defense and then you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. I mean, true.
That's such a bullshit cop out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you should want to play defense.
The immediate response to that would be like, well, the other team didn't even have to put their defense on the field.
Yeah.
Like, again, going back to the coin flip, like, you got lucky. Oh, I don't.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't even, like, it just doesn't make sense at all. Like, say you even change it to where it doesn't matter. First drive, if you score a touchdown, field goal, whatever, the next team gets an opportunity to match whatever you did.
Right.
And then you go back to the same rule. So then a field goal the next time wins again. It's still the same problem.
Yeah.
That's why the college system is just that much. It's like, it just makes so much more sense. It hurts.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I'm okay with the Chiefs winning. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm really not.
I'm super happy for our guy Ben, our guy Hitch, our guy Blythe. It's like
Josh Jackson on the P squad.
But America was robbed of extra great football.
And it was one of the last, I mean, the whole game, but the last 6 minutes of regulation and overtime was some of the craziest shit we've ever seen and some of the best playmaking that we've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, what Josh Allen did to extend plays, what that Davis guy was doing on, I mean,
Gabriel Davis, he put one guy in the morgue, dude.
He put him in a fucking blender, man. I mean, he took that guy's ankles and just threw him out of the universe. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen, and it was beautiful. And the way the game ends, Tyreek Hill is a cheat code. I mean, he just catches the ball and he just runs away from everybody.
I mean, I just had this feeling in my stomach. Like, well, I mean, you saw the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Quarterback's just going back and forth, like making insane plays.
Just play defense.
Fuck you. Stopped. Patrick Mahomes got the ball first. That's probably going to do it.
That's game. There's game. Yeah. If I was Josh Allen.
It's insane, though. I'll say, like, the most insane part is how do you give up a field goal with 13 seconds left?
That's fucking absurd, dude.
And
I understand, again, it's the Chiefs. Like, they can do anything. And did you get to see the videos of Pat and Kelsey talking about what they were? Dude.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
I'm telling you that exact same sort of conversation happened on a 7th grade football field in Marshalltown, Iowa with me and Blake Gimble. I am the best man at my wedding. And I know that it doesn't fucking matter at all. We were playing Fort Dodge, dude. They were trash. Forky from Toy Story, I'm trash. That's Fort Dodge, at least when we played him. And I told Blake, we were running. We had a last second play. We had to score a touchdown. We had a last second play. We were at the 50-yard line in seventh grade. We were down by four. And I was supposed to stay in and protect as the running back. I told, I didn't have any trust in any of our receivers. And this is not what Kelsey was thinking, because obviously you trust in Tyreek and all those other players. But like, he was doing it from a strategy standpoint. He had seen how they played the play before. He looked over it. He's like, hey man, I'm going to hit the seam if they guard you like that. He's telling Tyreek. I told Blake Gimble, hey, fuck the play we're running. This Hail Mary, I'm running straight down the middle of the field. I will beat the linebacker, throw it to me, and I will score. And it's exactly what happened. I called my shot, Babe Ruth on the Franklin Field in Marshalltown, Iowa. And for them to go 13 seconds, two plays, what do you do? Like, what, Kev, what happened?
What you do on defense is you don't play that kind of bubble, guard the sidelines, guard deep, deep, deep middle, prevent defense.
You got to guard.
They have timeouts left.
Yeah.
You still got to play defense when they have timeouts left. You still got to guard the middle of the field, which is what was not happening. And that's what they kind of exploited on that Kelsey seam. And he's
embarrassing,
able to get into a very makeable field goal situation for Butker. No, what's his name?
Yeah. Butker, Harrison Butker.
Yeah.
I thought when Josh Allen's, they scored that last touchdown, I thought, holy shit, the Bills just somehow did this. And the play, and then the Chiefs touchdown before.
I mean, it's just insane, dude. You know, the Chiefs go and score on a 17 play, 75 yard drive, burn 7 minutes off the clock, and leave Patrick Mahomes with what is it? Just over 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah,
just under 2 minutes left in the game. That the was Bill, on fourth
the
down.
Bills did that
touchdown too. And then Patrick Mahomes takes the ball, 52 seconds, touchdown.
Stupid.
And there's a minute and 13 left, 50 seconds, touchdown, 13 seconds, field goal. And everyone's just like losing their mind. It's like, this you know is, what? It might have just, so I'm sorry, I'm not making any sense right now, but everyone knows I play defense. I love defensive football. I value good defense. I like watching defensive games. And you can talk about how bad this defense was in the last 4 minutes of the game, but that was fun to watch.
I would argue that it's not, it's the, you know, the defenses are, it's just a wash. I think it's really highlighting how amazing offensive players can be. And what's incredible about it, Kev, is they're put up back against the wall. And what we get to see is, okay, we have to score. So they're taking chances. And what you saw was, when NFL guys, the best in the world, take chances, what can actually happen? During a game, you know, it's the middle of the third quarter. You're not running those plays, and the quarterback's not just throwing the ball up there, hoping it gets there. They're not, the risk reward isn't there. But at the end, the risk reward is you either lose the game or you hit this crazy play. It's just,
They weren't even running very crazy plays.
I mean, you're right. Travis Kelce was wide open down the middle, and Gabriel broke that guy. I mean,
Tyreek Hill beat his guy in a dig route and then just ran past everyone because he's Tyreek Hill. That was for their previous touchdown.
He's so stupid fast. It's unbelievable. I don't want to spend too much more time on it, but left in the playoff now, we've got the Bengals versus the Chiefs. I don't see how the Bengals get past that one, but it would be, I hope it's a good game. I
don't think they win, but I think they might cover the 7 points they're getting.
Okay. Well, okay. And then we have the Niners Rams, and that's going to be a fantastic game, I think.
I saw this stat. The Niners have won six in a row versus the Rams.
I believe so. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. They kind of got their number, huh?
Yeah.
So left in the playoff for the Hawks, we have, George on the Niners, Jake, and I don't know about the P squad there. I know at one point we had Ross on there. I don't know who's left. Jake and AJ on the Rams.
Yep.
Mike Daniels and Riley Reiff is actually on the practice squad.
Yeah, I didn't know Riley Reiff was on the Bengals as well. Apparently he's on IR.
Yeah. And then Hitch, Ben, Blythe, and Josh Jackson P squad for the Chiefs. So we still have, what is that?
Somebody's taking home a ring this year for the Hawks.
Hawks get another ring. And that's not uncommon. So fun to watch. Real quickly, because we're not going to sit around here and drag this out for an hour, but we'll talk as long as the content spills out. Just today, I saw this. The Big Ten considering scrapping divisions format, says AD Gary Barta.
Huh.
A major shakeup to the Big Ten. This is let me give credit. I don't wanna what's it called? Plagiarize. Nick Costco, this is on 247 Sports. He actually quotes Scott Docterman in here. A major shakeup in the Big Ten conference could come after the 2022 season. Iowa Athletic Director Gary Butter told The Athletic, scrapping East and West divisions in favor of a different type of football schedule is under consideration. If this comes to fruition, the Big Ten would likely have standings for all of its 14 of its members, making each team play 8 of its 12 games against Big Ten opponents. Since the Big Ten formed an alliance with ACC and Pac-12, in terms of scheduling for the future, games against out-of-conference opponents could come strictly from those conferences to flesh out the other 4 games, or at least a handful of them on the schedule. Says new college football playoff format influences Big Ten discussions on whether to eliminate divisions, remain status quo, or drop to 8 league games. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Can you imagine a world where we play 8 random teams from the Big Ten, not necessarily the 6?
I mean, yeah, it's before what we added Maryland and Rutgers. There's no divisions and just played 8 teams. I think that decision to drop down from 9 to do that while dropping down from 9 to 8 Big Ten games would be interesting. It would make it harder to rank your teams. You're playing less Big Ten opponents.
Yeah, it would be a little tough with 14 teams. And then you're looking at some like the out of conference, you're like, okay, well, we play Washington and Oregon State and Clemson and Wake Forest. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm all for playing more Power 5 non-conference games. Interesting though is that would get rid of the Cy-Hawk series.
That's the big one, right? Like, we don't give a shit about the other 3. There's no.
Can you imagine? Say we win
7 in a row, 8 in a row.
What? So this is the last year of that, and then he's talking about doing it for next year for 2023.
It says season. After the 2022 season, yeah.
So say the Hawks win this Cy-Hawks game.
They just never win it again.
And we just never play Iowa State again.
Well,
we end the rivalry and winning what, 8 straight?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Purdy's gone and a bunch of their other contributors are gone and Iowa returns a lot. I have to imagine that Iowa's, you know, this is
back in Kinnick this year too.
Back in Kinnick. This is the Tyler Kluver washed up walk-ons way too early prediction on the Cy-Hawk series, but the Hawks are going to be favored in that game.
Yep.
I mean, I could play quarterback and we'd be favored in that game probably.
Nope.
Okay. But that is interesting, man. I think it would be a little funny. It'd be a little funny.
It'd be hilarious. I mean, I love beating up on Iowa State every year, but it'd be absolutely hilarious if that's how it ended.
For the guys, I hope that the rivalry stays around because I do.
Oh, 100%. It's fun. I think it's fun for the state. It's fun for the fan bases to talk trash.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. What are your thoughts on the Big Ten thing and just doing like the top 2 teams? I feel like it'd be hard.
It's tough.
I'm sure they'll have a format of how to rank them, but if you're not playing everyone in the league, you can theoretically have multiple unbeaten teams in the Big Ten.
That's correct. Yeah, the scheduling becomes very important there because
right, like the current format, you have divisions. You're playing everyone in your division, so you know,
like this was the best.
It's impossible to tie someone in your division. Eventually, when you get down to for enough criteria, somebody has won.
Right.
Now, if you have teams that, so you have 3-8-0 Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
Say they won their non-conference. Say, yeah, 3-12-0 Big Ten teams.
I think.
What do you do? You know.
Yeah. Right now, when you have those divisions, it's like, okay, well, you have to win your division. This would be the East is looking at this and saying, oh, this is great because now we don't have to, you know, we necessarily we could still get beat by Ohio State and still have a chance here. Like we, you know, like over there where you've got, you know, traditionally, at least over the past decade, you're like, well, we got three or four teams that we feel like could beat the West champion. Right. And, you know, it's going to be interesting for sure.
Because the Big 12 can get away with doing it that way because they only have 10 teams in their conference and every team plays every team in the conference. So,
and they're weaker.
It all shakes out.
And regardless of how good they think they are, they're weaker too. So like they're the third best team in the Big 12 is usually maybe the
right. And the way the Big 10 did it back when they just had, before Maryland Rutgers.
Yep.
Is, you know, you'd play eight conference games, but we didn't have a championship. And so if you had two, you know, you'd get co-Big Ten champs,
which is like Iowa
02-04. I think they shared it both, once with Michigan, once with
Ohio State, I think. Yeah. Yep. So, but there's still going to be a championship game. Ah, it's going to be weird. I don't know. It's interesting.
I like the dynamic of the East West. I think it's fun, but I understand if you feel like one division's getting dominant over the other.
I do too. I would not have any argument against that. I'd be okay.
I think like the records East West, I think the West is
it's closer than people think.
No, I think I don't know from like the last two seasons, but I remember seeing a stat like 2 years ago that the West actually had a better record versus the East.
Yes.
Just because the East is top heavy. You got those garbage schools at the top. At the
right.
Bottom.
Right. Yeah. No, that it's fun to look at. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. Another quick NFL note, Nick Neiman, who we need to get on the show, especially because this just happened. He took home best savage back of the NFL, basically.
Yeah. Pretty awesome, huh?
He was named an all rookie team as the special teams pick, just the all around, you know, basically what we call the savage back. And on DHT, we mentioned it, but I believe Ben won this same honor in his first season.
Did he?
I think he did, or it was either that or in his second season, he was like the best rated of PFF or something, but he was the best special teamer as well in the league 1 year. But that's really, really cool for Nick. And we should bring him on to talk about it.
That is dope.
Couple other things.
That's just cool, man. It's one part about growing up and getting older is seeing some dudes that you saw as like young kids come into the program and then grow up and then succeed at a very high level. I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. And the thing I think about when I think of that award, right? If you're the one guy, they pick one guy to be the best special teamer, right? Not a return man, not a punter, a kicker, long snapper. That award is a how much can you bust your nuts and just work? Because as you know, Kevin, special teams is absolutely exhausting. And
sucks. It sucks. It hurts. It's some of the most painful plays and tiring plays.
Yeah, it's
half scripted. The time it ends up with nothing happening. So.
Yep. It's like an unscripted conditioning. It's like anything can happen. Sometimes you got to block this guy. Sometimes you got to block this guy. Other times you're trying to get around blocks. I mean,
sometimes you got to go into the two man wedge, which I think they got rid of. RIP to the wedge. Yeah,
occasionally you're giving up your body and just saying, yeah. Well, might break something. Hope my neck's okay. You know,
hope I can read tomorrow.
Yeah. Hope I remember my family's name in 2 months. Yeah. Two other one's kind of football related, more just Iowa related notes before we get off here. Chris Ruth is leaving Iowa.
Yeah. Sad to see him go, man. He was a legend and made some awesome hype videos.
Absolutely legendary. For those that don't know, Chris, actually one of our very first guests all the way back on, like, I want to say it's episode 37 of the podcast or 38, 39, somewhere around there. And he was he's the head video guy or co-head video guy along with Bob Rehfeldt. And what he did, he kind of came in around the same time that we did, and him combined with Max Allen, they, and there's plenty of people doing this around the country, but they've actually, Chris won awards for this. I think he was the best in the country 2 years ago.
The 2015 Minnesota hype video also won best in
the
year too.
The videos, the content that him and Max, who did a lot of the design stuff that you see like on Twitter and social media stuff, what those two did for the brand of Iowa football as we worked into this modern era, it's really hard to quantify. They were really, really, really good at their job. And if you look at the numbers, sometimes they post them. Iowa's social accounts, Instagram, Twitter, their YouTube channel is one of the most, it's like a top 10 year in, year out. I think it's judged by interactions, right? Retweets, right. Likes, followers. And that's because of Chris Ruth. And he spearheaded a department over at Iowa football and was a legend and a great fucking dude. And we should probably have him back on to like tell stories and some of his favorite moments. So I'll get in touch with him, but it's sad to see him go. Evidently, you know, he's going to go down and be the same thing at UCF. He's going to be a Knight, which is cool. And I think his family is originally from there. And so I could not be happier for him because he gets to go live out his perfect life. And that's really sweet.
Yep. Yep. Damn. Yeah. It's,
it sucks, dude.
It sucks, but you gotta be happy for the guy.
I feel attached to him, and he was the head video guy. What's gonna happen when KF retires? I mean, I know he just signed the contract at 29, but I might have an emotional breakdown when that happens.
When KF retires, I retire from life.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see, that's 8 years from now. Can I have my? I'm really gonna have to do well financially to be.
I think I have to leave Iowa when KF retires.
Yeah, I have to that's what I'm saying. It's like,
I'll go live in the woods.
Yeah.
I'll go take up a life in the woods.
And the final thing, and this is just sports related, is Barry Bonds is not a Hall of Famer in baseball. And it's total bullshit. All because he used steroids and he was like the poster child for it, while every other dude in the league that wanted to hit home runs was using them too. Barry Bonds' stats are absolutely nuts. And
yeah, man, it's a sham. Cause like you said, there's everyone was using it back then.
Who knows how many,
and there's guys that are in the Hall of Fame. Like, yep. Big Papi had a test.
Yep.
That turned up positive. He just got elected first ballot. I'm not sure if it's because he was so successful that he got, kind of shut out by the writers, but there's no denying that he is the best baseball player of all time.
Yeah.
There's no denying it.
It sucks because when I think of baseball, I mean, we grew up just in the right era, right?
I mean, we were kids when he was.
When I
like
think
little kids, like yeah. six years old, and I remember watching Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa go after it. That
you
year.
Just named the three guys, man. Those three
and
guys.
And then, you know, Barry Bonds goes and destroys the record next year, and he's just cranking everything out of the park. I remember being like 6 years old watching ESPN Sports Center in the morning. And they show a picture or they show highlights of him cranking them into San Francisco Bay. People on the kayaks going after the baseball.
I remember when he broke the record, man. Like,
yeah.
And I think of him when I think of baseball. Those three guys, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds, all of them with just.
But, I mean, so you can also. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say all of them with just juicy McJuice running through their veins. And that's okay, man. Fuck it.
Well, I mean. Yeah, the rules were very unclear at the time, too. Now, you can say, hey, now we have rules saying no steroids. Okay, if you guys chronically juicing after that,
right?
Then, yeah, I mean, you can suspend them, kick them out the league, not put them in the Hall of Fame. But it was a very gray area of whether it was allowed or not back then. And here's another thing. One, Barry Bonds' stat lines – from before he started allegedly juicing is Hall of Fame worthy.
Still unreal.
By itself.
Yes.
Two. taking steroids doesn't necessarily help you hit a baseball.
Correct.
It helps you hit it further, maybe.
Correct.
But the hand-eye coordination to hit a major league fastball
is absurd.
Is not super enhanced by steroids.
Right.
You can get your hands through the zone faster, but the way he was hitting the baseball was just incredible.
Yeah, the contact he made, none of that is – you're right. You're right. Yeah. So that was the last thing I wanted to talk about, and it's just – it's sad because this was his last year of eligibility, and now, you know, unless they make
– yeah, there's apparently a special committee that can convene if they want to put him in.
Right.
Same with Pete Rose, and Roger Clemens is out now too.
Like, what are we fucking doing? Like,
Pete Rose was betting on his own team to win. It wasn't like he was shaving points or betting against himself.
What's wrong with that, man?
Like, I know, right? This guy's got extra skin in the game. He's feeling good. He's like, all right, come on, boys. We got to get this one. I got 10 grand riding on this.
Like, if anything, I think we should allow guys to bet on their own team to only win.
It should be not only allowed, it should be encouraged.
For guys to make they can make very specific bets. They can only bet on their team, and it has to be to cover a spread or to go over the point total.
No, I think it can only be money line. You can only bet money line. The point totals and spreads.
No, let them do it. Let them do it.
You can only bet on your team money.
Okay, money line, but still, let them do it.
But encourage it.
Yes.
Man. Tell them, hey, dude, tell you what, the NFL's ratings this year through the roof. Why? Man. Because gambling's exploded.
Yes, they crushed it.
So tell your players to post their $100,000 bets on their team money line, yes, on their IGs, on their Twitter feeds, and your ratings are just going to keep going up.
Everybody on earth is going to be watching like, holy shit, man, Tom Brady just bet $2 million on this game. He's got Giselle's money on this fucking game right now. Oh, God. That's hilarious.
That'd be funny. Hey, I mean, you couldn't accuse people of not being bought in.
Yeah, seriously.
Just collecting their game check.
How much do guys care now, huh?
Mandatory. You must put your game check on the money line.
There's a minimum amount of your game. There's 10% of what you make in a year before taxes has to go down on your own games to increase player buy-ins, like mentally, you know?
I mean, in theory, if you go 8-8, so you're going to lose 10% of your salary, but then you're also going to double 10% of your salary. I mean, it breaks even.
Come out as a wash and just come out super entertaining. Yeah, I agree. Well, that was 45 minutes of fun with the Kevin and Tyler show. No Drake, low key, no talks about fucking anything that Drake brings to mind. Probably none of that tonight. So that's good stuff. 289. We're quickly approaching 300 on the show, and we need to find a guest. We know one person who won't be coming on this podcast, and if you're signed up for the Patreon, you know exactly who that is, because Drake and I talked about it on DHT.
Oh, did y'all really?
Yeah, we did. Not gonna say it here, but yeah. Watch Up Walk On, sponsored by DRF Sports, who are now live in Iowa, people. DRF, we just talked about how sports betting made the NFL ratings go bonkers. And now we have, and I'm getting on the phone with the DRF people tomorrow. So brought to you by DRF Sports. We will talk to you in 290. Thank you for listening. As always, peace.